Children's be heading back to junior church here in a minute. Nobody? Anybody? All right. You can make your way back once we head that way. Oh, no, caught. All right. Can you guys tell me what's special about today? It's Mother's Day. Good job. Because if you didn't answer that, you're going to get in trouble. probably. Maybe. Well, I brought my mom today. Picture my mom and dad. That's my dad, too. But can you tell which one? Yeah, this is my mom. And something about this. Everybody's got a mom, right? Everybody's got everybody. Literally everybody. You're not here without a mom. The thing is, some of us have a chance to be with our birth moms throughout our lives. Some of us don't, right? Moms come in all kinds. If we haven't, been blessed to be with our mom, God brings other people, other women into our lives to be moms. And even if we have a birth mom, God brings other people into our lives to be moms. I have a great mother-in-law as well, and I can say that. All mother-in-law jokes aside, I have a great mother-in-law that's taught me a lot as well. And so moms today can be celebrated in all kinds of moms today that have been brought into our lives to be our moms and to mother us in different ways. The Bible has a lot to say about moms. It has a lot to say about women in general. I mean, women are an integral part of a lot of the stories in the Bible. But it has a lot to say about moms. And I'd like to read a little bit today from Proverbs. Pretty good place to go. Because it says that the woman who loves him is clothed with strength and dignity, meaning that they're set apart. Proverbs 31 says, women who love God like this, when she speaks, her words are wise. And she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. Husbands, says, and he says to her, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Our mothers are wise and kind, and they are treasured by God. Women, mothers are treasured by God. Have you ever thought of your mom being treasured by God? Maybe? So really, if God's willing to treasure them, and the husbands should be praising them, and it said in that verse that children stand and bless their mothers. So today, I want you to start thinking about ways. I mean, there's no way, caveat, there's no way that we're going to be able to repay our moms. There's just not. As much as we want to try, but we should try, right? So I want you to be thinking of ways from now on, not just today, but from now on, find ways to bless your mother, to bring praise to your mother. And not just, I mean, definitely we need to say that we love you, right, to the different moms in our lives, but also to show them that we love them through different ways that we can find to bless our mothers, right? In the same way that we do with God. We tell God that we love him, but we find ways that we can show him that we love them, that we love him, and we do that for our moms as well. All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Fred.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you're well pleased. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Today we're going to be talking about the godly influence of a mom. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. And it's a day that we honor our moms, the very people with God's help who have given us life. And so, there are many different kinds of mothers. Let's bring up the next slide, if you will, please, Marilyn. There are many different types of mothers here today. And Ben was talking about that. Women who have no children of their own, but have certainly been like a mother to many people. There are women here today who are grandmothers, and some of you are great-grandmothers, maybe even great-great-grandmothers, I'm not sure. There are mothers whose children have grown or are on the verge of leaving the nest. There are mothers here who have mothers of teenagers. There are mothers of small children. And then there are also women here that may not have children of your own, but yet you are stepmothers. And we just today, we just want to recognize you this morning and to let you know in a small way how much that we appreciate you for all that you've done for your family. So if you're in those categories somewhere, will you please, ladies, will you please stand today so that we can recognize you? Will you please stand? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you so very much. You know, being a mother is not for the faint-hearted. And I'm sure your moms can attest that. It's a tough job being a mom. And oftentimes, it is a thankless job. And whether it is appreciated or not, a mother's love for her children is relentless. Even when your children may not think that it's all that loving. I love the Irma Bombeck, way back when, wrote a column several years ago titled A Mother's True Love. And I just want to read that for you. She writes, "Someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I will tell them I loved you enough to ask where you were going, with whom, and what time you would be home. I loved you enough to insist that you save your money and buy a bike for yourself, even though we could afford to buy one for you. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover that your new best friend was a creep. I loved you enough to make you take a Milky Way back to the drugstore with a bite out of it and tell the clerk, I stole this yesterday and I want to pay for it. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that would have just taken me 15 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger, disappointment, and tears in my eyes. Children must learn that their parents are not perfect. I loved you enough to let you assume responsibility for your actions, even when the penalties were so harsh that they almost broke my heart. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when I knew that you would hate me for it, and those were the most difficult battles of all. I'm glad that I won them because in the end, you won something too." Can we say amen to all of that? Although they don't like it, there are times when mothers have to make tough choices and tough decisions. And sometimes those decisions do break a mother's heart, but it has to be made for the good of the child. But one of the most toughest decisions that a mother ever made is presented in our study this morning. It's a story of a loving, courageous mother. So I want to take a look here, number one. First of all, we're going to be taking a look at Hannah today, Hannah the influential mother of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we meet a young woman, again named Hannah, and she desperately wanted to be a mother, but she could not bear children. In fact, as you read in verses 6 and 7, her husband's other wife, they had more than one wife back then, her husband's other wife had children, and because Hannah was barren, she would provoke her until she cried. And how different Hannah is from many American women today who can easily bear children but abort them by the hundreds of thousands yearly here in America. You know, did you know that even though Roe versus Wade had been overturned in 2022, there were last year an increase in abortions from the year before. There were 1,026,690 abortions performed last year here in America. And unlike those women, Hannah is a young woman who would give anything. I mean, anything to have a baby. And to make it worse, she is teased and ridiculed because she can't. And Hannah is emotionally distraught. She cries all the time. She can't eat. And I want you to look at the way that her husband tries to console her. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. It says, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? That would certainly cheer up a young woman who couldn't have children, right? Wouldn't you think so? I mean, sometimes husbands are clueless. No amens, please. But sometimes we are, isn't that right, guys? Sometimes we are simply clueless. But Hannah begins to pray for a baby. Notice what she prays in verses 10 and 11. It says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, the statement that is made here regarding the razor, no razor, she is referring to the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow, no razor would ever cut your hair. You would never cut your hair. But this vow stated that I will devote my life in service to the Lord for my as long as I live. And this is what she has done. She has evoked this vow for her son. And so here's what an unselfish request that we see here of Hannah. She wants a son so badly that she is willing to give him right back to God, to live with Eli, the high priest at Shiloh, and serve in the tabernacle for the rest of his life. Now, although parents today do not physically give up their children in the service of God, as did Hannah, I believe that it is certainly important that parents dedicate their children to God by bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 4. I mean, parents should be teaching their children about God and Jesus Christ. Amen? Parents should be bringing their children to worship their Heavenly Father on a consistent basis. Children learn rather quickly how important or unimportant following and serving God is from their parents. And if God is not a high priority in their parents' life, then He will not be a high priority in their children's lives either. Now, parents, our children are a gift from God. Amen? They are a gift from God, and we have the privilege and responsibility to see to it that our children go to heaven. Amen? We are to see to that. Let's not fail them. Amen? Let's not fail them. But then secondly, we see here verse 20 that Hannah is then blessed with a baby boy. And she names him Samuel. And after Samuel was old enough to be away from his mother, Hannah kept her promise. And she brought him to Eli, the high priest, and dedicating him to God. Don't you know that that must have been very difficult for this mom? She made this promise to God. She was going to keep her promise. But she wanted to have this child so much. And she cried and prayed, and finally God blessed her with her son. And now she takes her young son and brings him to Eli, the priest, the high priest, to raise and prepare him to serve the Lord. And saying goodbye, man, that must have been so difficult for this mom. Must have been so difficult for her to say goodbye to her son and then return to her home. But she gives Samuel to Eli as she promised God, and then she leaves him behind praising God for being so good to her, for her. But then, however, what we got to understand, that even though she gave her son to God, even though she gave him to Eli to raise and prepare him to serve the Lord, Hannah never did forget about Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, it says, each year, the time of the annual sacrifice, during the time of the annual sacrifice, Hannah and her husband went up to Shiloh and brought Samuel a little robe. She did this every single year. And she gave her son to God and to be used by him as he saw fit. But that does not mean that she didn't love her son. Doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that she wasn't going to let him know who his mother and father were. And it doesn't mean that she was going to forsake him. She saw him every chance that she got to make sure that she was in her son's life as much as she possibly could. She loved Samuel deeply, and undoubtedly she was very, very proud of him. And because of her faithfulness, God blessed her with three more sons and two daughters. 1 Samuel 2 verse 21 tells us. Now Samuel became a great prophet of God. In fact, he was the one who anointed David as the future king of Israel. And again, don't you think that Samuel realized a tremendous sacrifice that his mother made by dedicating him to God for the rest of his life? And undoubtedly, her example, her faith, her love, her sacrifice influenced Samuel greatly. I do not think that it was Eli's influence that made Samuel the great prophet that he was. In fact, Eli's own two sons were very wicked men who took advantage of God's people and committed immorality with the women who served at the tabernacle of God. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 says it all about these guys. It says, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. And Eli knew it. But he did very little to stop it. And because of that, he and his sons were punished by God. Now, I can't help but think that it was Hannah's godly influence that greatly impacted her son's life and obedience to God. But then secondly, I want you to understand, and I truly believe this, that mothers are some of the most influential people on earth. If you've got a mom, a godly mom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, many of you are Christians, are faithful Christians today because of your mother's godly influence. And it thrills me to hear and see mothers who, like Hannah, dedicate their children to God, to raise their children to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. I mean, not a day goes by that these mothers don't pray for their children by name. I mean, they pray when they're hurt or sick. They pray when they go off to school. They pray for their physical well-being. They pray for the person that they will one day marry. They pray for their souls. They pray for their children. I never heard my mother pray. It's not because my mother never prayed. That's not the reason at all. We grew up in a church that taught that a woman cannot pray in front of a man, as Regina did this morning. We were taught that that was wrong to do so. And so at the dinner table, it was either my dad or my brothers. We were the one who prayed for the meals, not my sisters, not my mother. So I never actually heard my mother pray because she felt it was sinful for her to pray in front of a male, man or boy, man or child. But one day when my dad was... My dad worked for the Air Force. He was in civil service for the Air Force. And he was stationed in Tinker Air Force Base outside of Oklahoma City, more in the Midwest City area of Oklahoma. And my dad had to go on what was called TDYs, what are they called? Yeah, there it is, temporary duty, yes. And he had to go and leave, and he was gone for 2 months to Georgia. And during that time, you know, and he would, of course, send his, you know, the check would be coming to mom and all that so she could take care of the household. And there were five of us kids in the house. But one day I walked to the bathroom, and right there as I go to the bathroom, there's my mother's and my dad's bedroom. And I heard what I thought was my mom crying. But she really wasn't crying. She was just pleading to God, praying for my dad, praying for us kids. I mean, all these things that she was just pleading to God. I never, ever heard that before. But my mom's heart just poured out for her family. And I just stood there and cried as I listened to her pray. And I know this is what moms do. I mean, moms pray for their kids, and they pray for them by name. And if you're anything like my mom, if you were the child who was hurting most, boy, that was the child who just got the brunt of all those prayers. Man, pray. I remember when my brother was in Vietnam, boy, my mom, you know, I know that she prayed for Alvin. I know she did. Because that's what she did. She would think about them and pray for them. And so mothers, pray. Pray for your kids. These mothers indirectly teach their children about God when taking time to answer questions like, Mommy, where do babies come from? Why does it rain? Why do people die? You will never die, will you, Mommy? But they also teach their children directly about God when they read them a Bible story, when they take them to worship and to Sunday school and the vacation Bible school, when they tell them about Jesus. And even when a child strays from God, a mother's loving and godly influence is still felt. Robert Strand, in his book, Memories for Mothers, tells the story about a young lady who, like a lot of teenagers today, just got tired of home and the restraints of her parents. And her parents had her late in life. And they did the best they could in raising her. And as their daughter grew older, she rebelled against them and her Christian upbringing. And one day she told her parents, I don't want your God. I don't want you. I'm leaving. And so she left home, you know, deciding to be a woman of the world. And before long, however, she was dejected and unable to find a job, and she wound up on the streets of a large city. And the years passed by, and her father died. Her mother grew older, and the daughter became more and more entrenched in her way of life. And although there was no contact between mother and daughter during those years, I mean, the mother heard about her daughter's whereabouts, and so she caught a bus, went to the city, and went to the Skid Row section of the city to find her daughter. She was determined to find her daughter. And she stopped at homeless shelters and rescue missions and asked if she could put up a picture. And it was the only picture of herself, a wrinkly-faced, gray-haired mother with a handwritten message at the bottom that says, "I love you still. Please come home." Months passed. Nothing happened. Then one day the daughter wandered into a rescue mission for a needed meal. And as she sat down to eat, she glanced over at the bulletin board and she saw this picture and she thought, could that be my mother? And she quickly ran, got closer and looked and realized that it was indeed her mom. And then, she read her mother's pleading words, "I love you still. Please come home." And she was so touched that she started hitchhiking back home that very night. And by the time she arrived, it was early morning. She was afraid of not knowing really what to say, what to do. And so she timidly made her way up to the front door. And as she knocked, the door flew open on its own. And fearing that someone had broken into her house and her mom's house and possibly harmed her mom, she ran to her mother's bedroom and she found her sleeping. And so she shook her mother awake and said, Mom, it's me. It's me. I'm home." And the mother, she just couldn't believe her eyes. And she wiped her tears and they fell into each other's arms. And the daughter said, I was so worried. I mean, the door was open and I thought someone had broken in." And her mother gently replied, "No, dear. From the day you left, that door has never been closed." Mother's Day, I believe, evokes all kinds of emotions. Normally we approach this day as a happy day. But if your mother is no longer living, this may not be really a happy day, but maybe a somber day. I mean, you cherish those precious memories of your mom, but I mean, you long once again for her words of encouragement, her gentle touch, her strong presence. If you are childless like Hannah was, then you may feel empty today. If you had a poor relationship with your mother, spending most of your time arguing and fighting with each other, you may feel regret today. But no matter how you feel today, I want you to know that you are deeply loved by the one whose love far exceeds that of a motherly love, as difficult as that is to fathom. And speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God says this, Isaiah 49, verses 15 through 16. God says, he asked the question, "Can a mother forget her nursing baby and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Can a mother truly forget her baby? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." I mean, God is saying, "I love you more than a mother ever could. Regardless of how good and loving she is, I'll never forget you. I'll never forsake you. I've written you right here on the palm of my hands." And you see, when our Heavenly Father looks at the palms of His hands, He sees the nail prints of the palms of His only begotten Son's hands and says, "This is proof of how much I love you. This is proof." Happy Mother's Day. What I want us to look at today to understand that we just want to thank you, moms. Thank you for being such godly mothers. I think each of us can share stories, especially if we had Christian mothers, godly mothers. We can each of us share stories of how our mom influenced our lives in a godly way. My mom certainly wasn't a perfect woman. She stood all but 4 foot 11 inches tall. My dad was 6 foot, but she was 4 foot 11. But we were still scared to death of her, I'm telling you. My mom always said, you kids could never get big enough for me not to spank you. I'll wrap you up in a sheet and beat you with a broom. So fear and love kind of kept that relationship going. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my mom, she could have never won a Miss America. She was just an average looking mom. I mean, she could never be win a Mother of the Year award or anything like that. She really had only an eighth grade education. And so, you know, when I went to school, people, I would see my friends' moms, they had Mrs. Cleaver for their mom, and I had the mom on the Waltons, you know what I'm saying? But what we understand and what I know is that my mom loved the Lord deeply. And she made sure that we kids learned about Jesus and learned about God. My father was also a faithful Christian man. And so my parents, taught us to know the Lord. And we were in church every time the door was open. Never did my parents wake up, or my mom, my dad, and say, and we'd have to say, are we going to church today? I mean, we knew not even to ask that question. Unless we had chicken pox, we were going to church that day, no matter what, every time the door was open. Not because they felt that we've got to be there or we're not going to go to heaven, but these were people who truly loved the Lord and they wanted to serve the Lord. And that's, how we try to raise our children. And that's how you try to raise your children, to love the Lord. Because the greatest gift you can give your child is to see to it that they go to heaven. Nothing else is greater than that. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song, it's a time just kind of reflect. Reflect on your own life, not only as a mom, but as a dad, as one who, looks at your life and look at things and ask the question, am I truly a godly influence? Am I one who has served the Lord faithfully? Am I serving the Lord faithfully? And if not, will you let us pray for you? Maybe as you think about today that, you realize that, you don't have your mom with you anymore. And maybe today is that somber day. But we want to pray for you for that as well. Whatever that need might be, will you please come? Ask God that we stand and we sing.